time now to go to our goaltending expert, Mr. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin Is In Goal. Kevin, usually I'm on the other side of the glass giving you a call. Now you get to chat with me. How was your weekend, buddy?
It was good, and this is my pleasure to chat with you today. Jason, get a rare day off.
He is, yes. It's the summer. It's time to slow down a little bit. So he threw me to the Lion's Den for today and tomorrow. But I'm happy to be here because I get to chat goaltending with you, Kevin. I always feel like I learned something in your segment. Let's start now. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they trade Jonathan Bernier to the Anaheim Ducks. What do you think exactly went wrong for Bernier in Toronto? And where does that leave the Leafs now?
Well, it's interesting. What went wrong for Bernier in Toronto? You know, they're just, to be honest, I'm not sure I can grasp one thing. They had a new goalie coach last year, and he worked on some things with him in the summer, and it just wasn't enough. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think you can say anything about Bernier's time in Toronto other than, hey, it wasn't a great team, but there was an opportunity there for him to kind of establish himself as a number one, and just never really happened, not even close over the last year and a half. Was good at the end of last season, but, you know, overall, over the past couple of years, just nowhere near good enough. Just hasn't been. And he'll have an opportunity now in Anaheim. I think that's the one good thing about this for Jonathan Bernier is he goes to a head coach who knows him in Randy Carlyle. And Randy Carlyle, you know, is a coach who does not stick with one guy. So you know, between John Gibson being young and inexperienced and, frankly, having trouble staying healthy through a full season to this point, Bernier's getting another chance out of this. And it'll be interesting to see whether a fresh start out of the spotlight will be enough for him to kind of rediscover a career. Because, you know, another year like last year, especially the first half, and I don't know that there's another contract waiting for Jonathan Bernier after that.
Kevin, do you think the Leafs possibly misjudged the market, looking at the money they gave Anderson
and what
James Reimer went for? Like, what do you think happened with that?
They definitely misjudged the market. Listen, I raved about Frederik Andersen as a number one goaltender. I love that kid. I love his potential. I love the fact that he works so hard on his game. But they gave him $5 million, and James Reimer went for $3.4 million just a day later or a few days later. And it's really hard to say that they didn't misjudge the market. I mean, when you give Freddie Anderson $5 million, I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to chuckle here. I just made an absolute bomb of a putt while talking to you guys.
Well done.
Possibly save a hole for us.
Well done.
The guys can't believe it. Listen, you give Freddie Anderson five, I don't think that's necessarily a bad contract because I believe in the potential of Freddie Anderson. But then when you see how the market shifted on July 1st with James Reimer, a guy who had discussions about coming back to the Toronto Maple Leafs, who would have come back, you see him sign for the same term for $1.6 million less. And as much as I believe in the upside of Frederik Andersen, you know, the track record says that there's just no way, short of projecting what he might be, that right now he's worth that much more. And then when you see, you know, you see the contracts that were handed out, not a lot of money spent on goaltending on July 1st. You see Jacob Markstrom, maybe even a little bit of an overpay by the Canucks to give him $3.67 a year, all unrestricted free agency years. And you compare it to Anderson, who, again, I think he may be the best goalie of that bunch, but there's probably no need to pay him $5 million like the Leafs did. They made the trade. They paid early for him. And by paying early before the market was set at a lower rate, you know, I think they left some money on the table there.
We're joined by Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com for our weekly look around the crease in the NHL. You mentioned the Jacob Markstrom contract, 3 years at $3.675 million. What the heck are the Canucks doing between the pipes? They still have Ryan Miller at one more season. Like, who do you expect to take the majority of starts this season for the Canucks?
Well, that's going to be interesting because I think fans here in Vancouver are expecting it to be Jacob Markstrom. I think they see him as the future. Ryan Miller's got a year left on a deal that I said at the time was an overpay, $6 million a year over three for him. But I'd be honest with you, I would never count Ryan Miller out. He had a great start last year after changing some things he worked on early heading into the season with Alex Auld. I know he's kind of, there's some talk he may recommit to some of those changes this year and stick with them a little longer. And more than anything else, Willie Desjardins is a head coach who, I mean, not just in the NHL, but at all levels, has shown he loves to ride a number one goaltender. He said it. He's admitted it. When late last season, when the Canucks were out of it and Markstrom was playing good and they basically finally started alternating back and forth, I put it to him that, you know, maybe this might not be a bad idea long-term looking forward, that, hey, you know, every goalie wants to play every game, but when you have two good, you know, top-end goaltenders playing at an equal level, sometimes the best answer is to have them play alternating starts. I mean, hey, it's not every start, but it's every second start. And in its own right, that's a rhythm. Those guys can establish a rhythm. And even then, even with nothing on the line at that point in the season, he admitted he would do it for the rest of the year, but it's just not how he rolled. And so I have a tough time seeing him go with a tandem. I think he is a guy that likes to ride his number one, and I don't think it's a slam dunk that's Jacob Markstrom ahead of Ryan Miller at this point in the career. He's going to have to earn that.
When you talk about coaches that do run just kind of one starting goaltender, how many goalies in the NHL, Kevin, do you think are actually capable of starting north of 65 to 70 games and being competent every night? Carey Price is one of them. Jonathan Quick, I think, is another. Like, there aren't a lot of those guys that you really can really tie the team to and just let them run.
Well, it's definitely a shorter list, and I guess the bigger question is, why would you? I mean, with goaltending depth, you know, I would argue as good as it's been ever, there aren't a lot of backups that can't play. Why would you run your number one unless you're talking about a Price? And even there, if Al Montoya plays like he did for the Panthers, why would you run Carey Price into the ground? Why? I kind of look at it like, you know, Roberto Luongo is a perfect example. Look what the Panthers did. They went and got James Reimer. That's a pretty good insurance policy. Obviously, Luongo's hip, I don't expect him to start the season, and that probably plays a factor in it. But, I kind of look at a guy there that, you know, at his age, you know, told me a couple of years ago he didn't like to play back-to-back games anymore. Not because he couldn't play the back-to-back, but because he felt it for a week. So what happens in Florida? You get in the playoffs. Luongo has to play, because of the schedule, back-to-back games out of the chute. They go to triple overtime in game two or three, and he never recovers physically. So you're right. There are guys that are capable of being 65-game starters, but when the pool is so deep of backups right now, if you've got one that can play, play him. Why ride a guy into the ground? So I think that's the trend you're seeing starting right now. And, I don't expect that to change, although, hey, the Leafs right now with Freddie Anderson and just some young guys behind him, the San Jose Sharks with Martin Jones, and it looks like it could be Aaron Dell behind him, the Nashville Predators with a couple of young kids in Yusuf Soros and Mazanik behind Pekka Rinne. Those are the three teams left that don't really have a veteran backup. I'll be curious to see, especially once we see the new equipment, if any of them takes a flyer on a guy like Jonas Enroth to maybe solve their goaltending in the backup spot.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine joins us. There's been a lot of talk about expansion. Obviously, we now know Las Vegas will be getting a team, not this season coming up, but the one after that. When teams look to build their protected roster, the goaltending position might be one of the most difficult spots for some of those teams. So which teams do you think could be in a real pickle? Obviously, there's still about a year to go, but which teams could be in trouble with the upcoming expansion drafts between the pipes?
Well, I think, Pittsburgh is the one that jumps out. Pittsburgh's the obvious one to me. I think that the Penguins they may have to give up an asset to move Marc-Andre Fleury before they get into the summer, because if they don't move him, they have to protect him with that no-move clause, and that means they have to expose Matt Murray. So obviously Rutherford must have a plan. I do like the idea of going into the season with both of them, but the risk is if you can't move Fleury at any point, and he's got a no move, he controls some of this himself, you get stuck with him on your roster heading into that expansion draft, and you're going to lose Matt Murray, who won you a Stanley Cup last year, because he's a guy that's going to get picked. The other teams, the Winnipeg Jets, with the depth they have in the minors right now, I believe that Connor Hellebuck and, frankly, Eric Comrie are both ready to play in the NHL right now. And I know that those are the kind of guys that if I was a team looking to start a team in Las Vegas, those are the types of guys that I'd be looking at picking up, because young guys that you can build around as number ones in the future, both of those guys. So those are anybody in that type of situation. And then you look at the Canucks. Hey, if they don't sign somebody, they're going to have to expose Markstrom. You have to expose one goaltender. So teams like Vancouver and Calgary, where both Chad Johnson and Brian Elliott are unrestricted free agents next summer, those types of teams, if they don't have another goaltender under contract, they're going to have to expose somebody that they may not want to expose. And so it's not just the teams that have two goaltenders and are risking losing one. Sometimes it's the teams that don't have anybody under contract, and they might be forced to expose somebody they don't want to expose just to kind of meet that quota. So, hey, Las Vegas is going to have good goaltending. No matter what, they're going to have good goaltending in their first year.
And last one, Kevin, I really appreciate it. The offseason is now in full swing, as it's a very slow time in the sports schedule, but there's a lot of goalies that have already gone back to work this offseason. Why do goaltenders put in more work in the offseason than regular players? Or is that even a correct statement? Is it simply because there's more gear, they're playing more? Why do goalies put in more work in the offseason than players?
Because we're harder working than the players. No, like, honestly, it's not an incorrect statement, and I don't mean to cast doubt on the players. Listen, players work on getting faster and stronger in the offseason. Now, more and more younger players are starting to work on their shots. We're seeing younger players come to goalie camp now to learn what the goaltenders are doing. They come as shooters. I mean, for example, I do some work at a camp in Kelowna in the summers. James Reimer, Devin Dubnyk, Eddie Lax coming out this summer, handful of guys. I do some video work up there. The shooters for us, all NHL players. Curtis Lazar, Tyler Myers when he's healthy. They all come out because they want to see what the goalies are working on and work on ways that they can expose it. Players are finally catching up to the work that goaltenders did. The thing about goaltending is, in season, goalie coaches are basically managing. They're managing their guys' games. In the summers, where you make big technical changes, and that's where you have your opportunity to kind of make big gains and big improvements. So what happens is these goalies work. They start working as early as July, some guys, on the ice a couple times a week in addition to the gym work, and they're working on their craft. Whereas players are working to get bigger, stronger, faster, goalies are breaking down their games technically. The analogy is actually perfect because I'm on a golf course right now, but it's much like a golf swing. I mean, when I do this video work, you are breaking it down frame by frame in terms of how the head moves, how the chest angle moves, how they're gaining access to pucks, or are they pushing with their knees to the ice and pulling their upper bodies away and letting that puck get underneath their vision lines and causing themselves problems. Like, it is broken down to the nth degree, and they spend all summer looking for little areas like that that they can get better. Players, for the most part, like I said, just getting stronger and faster and bigger. Now, again, we're seeing more players look to skills coaches to try and use the summer the same way goaltenders have. But, hey, they're behind. We've been doing this as goaltenders for more than a decade now. And I'm just now seeing players start to clue in. Not all of them. I mean, Zach Parise was a prime candidate. He's a guy that used to talk to me about the work. He would go to his brother, Jordan Parise. I don't know if you remember, he's in the Devils system. He would go to his goalie camps in the summer and work with him. Again, same kind of thing. What's the goalie working on, and how can I find ways as a shooter I get to shoot pucks in game situations, and I'm working on my shot all summer, and I can find little things the goalies are doing that maybe I can exploit. And there are guys that score goals during the season because of habits they've picked up in the summer working in those type of camp environments.
Kevin, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for this. Gregor is back on Monday. Let's get back to your golf game, and we'll chat with you next week.
My sincere apologies that I am still on the golf course. This was supposed to be done before we started, but it's a media event. I got to say, I should keep talking to you because I've hit my best shot since I started.
Really? So you're getting a little Gregor Show karma there. I love it.
It is Gregor Show karma.
Thanks, Kevin. We'll chat with you next week, buddy.
Have a great week. Talk to you guys later.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine.